From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of his second message on the subject of how to think and live as Christians. The text is found in Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 14. Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing the importance of understanding what Paul is teaching in this chapter, for this is the secret of living a joyful, confident Christian life. In the first message, Dr. Cairns reminded us of the importance of recognizing what Christ has done through his death on the cross. Our assurance is grounded upon the perfection of what he did, and we lay hold of that by faith. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, all true Christian experience depends upon our union with Christ in his death and resurrection. This is what we are to reckon or count on, and we are to live our lives in constant and continual reference to Christ. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to listen to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Our Lord Jesus is ever giving, and does not for a solitary instant withdraw his hand. As long as there is a vessel of grace not yet full to the brim, the oil shall not be stayed. He is a sun ever shining. He is manna always falling round the camp. He is a rock in the desert, ever sending out streams of life from his smitten side. The rain of his grace is always dropping. The river of his bounty is ever flowing, and the wellspring of his love is constantly overflowing. As the king can never die, so his grace can never fail. Daily we pluck his fruit, and daily his branches bend down to our hand with a fresh store of mercy. There are 7 feast days in his weeks, and as many as are the days, so many are the banquets in his years. Who has ever returned from his door unblessed? Who has ever risen from his table unsatisfied? His mercies are new every morning, and fresh every evening. Who can know the number of his benefits, or recount the list of his bounties? Every sand which drops from the glass of time is but the tardy follower of a myriad of mercies. The wings of our hours are covered with the silver of his kindness and with the yellow gold of his affection. The river of time bears from the mountains of eternity the golden sands of his favor. The countless stars are but as the standard bearers of a more innumerable host of blessings. Who can count the dust of the benefits which he bestows on Jacob, or tell the number of the fourth part of his mercies towards Israel? How shall my soul extol him who daily loadeth us with benefits and who crowneth us with loving kindness? Oh, that my praise could be as ceaseless as his bounty! O miserable tongue, how canst thou be silent? Wake up, I pray thee, lest I call thee no more my glory, but my shame. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake right early.
Sacrifice of praise to you, the fruit of our lips gives thanks to you. We only seek to worship you with song.
listening and no one near. Still we would sing with our purpose too clear to praise you. To lift up your name and worship you.
We give our sacrifice of praise to you. The fruit of our lips gives thanks to you. We only seek to worship you with songs of praise.
One thing have we desire
to have of you.
This will we seek in all.
Gift we bring, our sacrifice of praise.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts continues to be most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking the time to do so. Remember that any literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Thank you. when he was answering this slander, let us continue in sin that grace may abound, he said, how shall we that died to sin live any longer therein? And there was an emphasis there. We of all people, how shall we who died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? There is this emphasis on we. That emphasis arises here again. And he's saying, likewise, ye also, reckon yourselves. There's an emphasis on the people to whom he is speaking here. Think of who you are. Think of what you are. Think of what you know concerning your position in Christ. And he says, now, reckon on that. Notice the word likewise, or ye also. But think of this, and you'll see immediately that there's a direct and a definite correspondence between Christ's death and resurrection, what happened to him in those things, and what happens to us in our death and resurrection when we become united to him by faith. Think again of this, so also ye. What is he saying here? Take this context very carefully. Verse 10, in that Christ died. Remember what I said last week? The death that he died, what he died. What he's saying is, I want you to see the full impact, the full meaning of the death that he died. I want you to see the full meaning of the life that he lives. And he says, verse 10, in that he died unto sin once. Now verse 11, so also ye. You died unto sin once. Verse 10, Christ, we are told, liveth unto God. So also you, who died in Christ, you now live unto God. This is what he's saying. Now when you've got that in your mind, he says, reckon on this. Count upon this. What is he telling us? He's saying, look, if you want to think like a Christian, if you want to act like a Christian, first and foremost, recognize what Christ has done. And then second, understanding what happened to him, that he died once and for all, that he lives never to die again. Grasp the spiritual reality that this establishes for every believer. What is that spiritual reality? Verse 11 spells it out, where he says, you reckon yourselves indeed to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Now the Authorized Version says, alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In actual fact, Paul said, alive unto God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is the first occurrence of this little phrase which is so popular with Paul, so much a favorite, when he talks about in Christ. It's so popular with Paul that he makes that phrase the keynote of the whole epistle to the Ephesians, for example. He builds the entire epistle round that one phrase, in Christ. He does the same in Colossians, in Christ. This is its first occurrence in Paul's writing. There is something similar in chapter 3, verse 24, where we read that we have redemption in Christ. But here we learn it's not just the redemption that's in Christ, but we are in Christ. That's what he's saying. We are in Christ. Now he says, reckon yourselves indeed to be dead unto sin, to be alive unto God, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon on this union with Christ. For this is the ultimate spiritual reality upon which all our experience must rest. Now let me repeat that. All true Christian experience rests on this reality, the reality of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, count on it. Now let me clear up a couple of misconceptions here. When he says reckon on this, this reckoning is not wishing. It's not make-believing. It's not trying to make yourself be something that you're not. It's not conjuring up some mystical, magical notion. We're not a version of Christian Science. Remember Mary Baker Eddy's great thesis that God is spirit and God is all in all, therefore nothing is matter. There is no such thing as matter. So you bump your head on that and there's no pain. Because first of all, there's no head. And second, there's no pulpit. There's no pain. Now, if you want to go down that road of stupidity, please go alone, for I'm not going there with you. We're not talking about that sort of crazy, making yourself think a lot of rubbish. We're talking about getting to the truth, grasping the truth, and thinking it through. Something else, let me make this clear, because this is something that most Christians don't really grasp. When he says, reckon yourselves to be dead, your reckoning doesn't make you dead. Now follow me carefully here. It's not the reckoning that makes you dead. Paul says, we who believe, we died with Christ. That's it. Over and done with. Finished. Once and for all. We died with Christ. Reckoning on it doesn't bring it to pass. It has already come to pass. Now I'm emphasizing this because we're not called to try and create something that has already happened. I said last week, God never tells us in His Word that we are to crucify the old man. Never once. Why? Because the old man has already been crucified. That's over and done with. Similarly here, it's not the reckoning that makes you dead. It's your union with Christ that says you're dead with Him. Now he says, see the truth of it. See what you are. You know, I remember as a little fella, seeing Brian here reminds me of when we were little fellas. And when I was a little fella, I was about 10 years old, and I fell and I cut this thumb. Still got the scar to this day. And I had to go up to the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast, and in those days all the boys wore short trousers. You didn't get into long trousers until you were 14. That's why our legs are so sturdy and strong and beautiful. I tell you, what a sight that was. But anyway, it was all right for me, for I was knee-high to a grasshopper. But when you saw some of these big fellows about 6 feet running around in short trousers, it was a sight to behold. But I was up there, and since this was around this area, I had to get a tetanus shot. Well, it was very easy. She just looked at my leg, half exposed anyway, took the trouser leg, pushed it back, rubbed the leg, and stuck the needle in. Well, I must be honest that it wasn't painful. I didn't feel anything much at all. And if I had, I'd still have gritted my teeth, kept my mouth shut, and I'd have been ashamed to make that nurse think that I was a coward. Sitting up beside me was a fellow. Now, to me, he was a man. Remember, I was 10, so he might have been 20, he might have been 40. I haven't a clue. He was a grown man. And he needed a tetanus shot. And she came to him and she rubbed on whatever it was she rubbed on to numb the skin. And she took the needle and I heard this yell. Ah! And she told him, would you shut up? I haven't even touched you with the needle yet. And she gave him a good bit of advice, which was, be a man. Be a man. Now, what did she mean by that? She didn't say suddenly, you've got to become a man. He was already a man. What she was telling him was, see what you are and live accordingly. Act accordingly. And that's what Paul is telling us here. See what you are. Understand your position. See that you died in Christ, that that you rose again in Christ, that the old man is dead, that the old position in Adam is gone, that the new position in Christ is now a reality. See what you are and live accordingly. Reckoning is not bringing a truth into existence that doesn't already exist. Reckoning is not causing something to happen because you wish it to happen. Reckoning is recognizing what is already the situation and acting accordingly. Reckon on this union with Christ, for this is the ultimate spiritual reality, and on this real union our whole experience must rest. So understand what he's saying. We died unto sin once and for all. That's what Paul is saying. Now this is where, and I can't take time tonight, if you haven't been here, I'm afraid I cannot keep going back up the chapter to preach every verse again. Otherwise I'll fulfill Dr. Barrett's prophecy of taking a long, long, long time on this chapter. But this is where the definitions that I gave earlier in these studies in chapter 6 of Romans come into play. What it means to die unto sin. This is not what most people have been taught, where you somehow or other convince yourself that you don't feel any more temptation to sin, that you are as impervious to every approach of sin as a corpse is to feeling pain. It's not what it's saying. It's saying not that you're delivered from all contact with sin, not that you're delivered from all temptation to sin or all ability to sin. What it's saying is that you're delivered from the reign of sin and from the realm and from the tyranny of sin. You died unto sin once and for all. You satisfied God's justice and wrath in Jesus Christ. You have now passed out of condemnation unto acceptance with God. You are out of Adam. You're into Christ. You died unto sin once and for all. Having died unto sin, there's a new man now. So he says, we rose again, never to go back into death. This is one of those great passages on the security of the Christian, which is a theme that Paul is dealing with in this particular section of Romans. And he comes back to it again and again. The security of the Christian. As Christ died and rose again, never again to fall under the dominion of death, so when we died in Christ, we rose again in Christ. In other words, we came out of Adam, we're put into Christ, and thank God there's no falling out of Christ. That's what Paul is teaching us here. Death has no longer power to rule over us. And therefore, since death is the servant of sin, it's the result of sin, sin has no longer power to be the tyrant over us. We now live in the power of an immortal life unto God. What does it mean to live unto God? It means to live, obviously, with reference to God. That's something the ungodly don't do. They can never live with reference to God. The essence of sin is selfishness. The essence of sin is to replace God as the chief end of existence and to replace Him with self as the chief end of existence. Therefore, when repentance takes place and faith takes place and we enter into Christ, now we are living unto God. He is the chief end of our existence. This is what I was trying to make clear this morning. That to a born-again believer, to a true Christian, Christ must be all in all. We live with reference to God. You cannot set your life in compartments. This is my Christian life. This is my business life. And this is my secular life. And this is my life of relation with the world. There are so many people, and they want to live out their lives in all these ungodly ways, and then pay lip service to God and His Christ, say on the Sabbath day. You can't do that. He is all in all. This is the great reality of being saved. We live with reference unto God. We live with life that God has given us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.